That's just a weird little video. I thought y'all might get a kick out of that. How many of you got a bulletin? Raise your hand. All right. Is anybody did not get a bulletin? Raise your hand. You don't have a bulletin. There's two things in there. As always, the sermon notes are in there. You need to look at those. But there's also money in the bulletins, okay? So, did you get, who there's a dollar bill in money. Who got the $20 bill? Anybody? Nobody got the $20 bill? Okay. All right. Butch, I guess you got that $20 bill when you put them. All right. This is in there because I want you to look at something on there. Look on the back side of it where it says, above the one, in God we trust. I thank God that that's on there. You know, last year there was a move by a bunch of radicals to remove in God we trust off of our money. We never want to see that, folks. This nation was built on in God we trust. So everybody, we need to make sure that we remember who we trust at. And I want to talk to you this morning. Mark read from the book of Malachi, chapter 3, verse 7 through 11. And I want to say this to you to start with. God is interested in your money. Not because he needs your money, he don't. He owns it all. So he doesn't need your money. But you know why he's interested in your money? Because you need it. You don't operate in the society we got today without money. So, since you're important to God, your money is important to God. God is interested in how you secure it, how you spend it, how you save it, and how you share it. Now already some of you saying, oh boy, here he comes, that preacher going to talk about money today. That's all they want is money. Take up an offering. We take up very few offerings here at Liberty Baptist Church. But some people say, preacher, don't talk about money, talk about something spiritual. And this kind of a statement shows a lack of knowledge, of biblical knowledge, and a lack of spiritual insight. And I'm going to tell you why. There's nothing more spiritual than how you handle your money. It is the supreme test of where our heart is. Matthew chapter 6, verse 21 says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now, folks, no truer words have ever been spoken than that. I can tell you, you show me your checkbook and I'll show you where your heart is. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Adrian Rogers, a great Baptist preacher in Memphis, Tennessee, said this, a faith that hasn't reached your wallet hasn't reached your heart. I've always said that if God saves you here, he saves your wallet, and he saves your billfold at the same time. Money is something that we use every day. It's our medium of exchange. Our very survival depends on it. You know, we're going to take a dollar and we're going to spend it. We're going to take all this money and we're going to spend it. How can Jesus Christ, pay attention to me now, be Lord of your life and not Lord of your money? He can't, okay? How can he care about us and not care about that which is so intrinsically just tied to our survival? It takes this to survive, folks. It takes this to survive. Preacher, don't talk about money. Talk about something spiritual. Wait a minute. The Bible says that the love of money is the root of all evil. If all the evil in this world is directly or indirectly traced back to a love of money, then that means there's something more spiritual that we can talk about today than money. That's very spiritual. our attitude toward money. In Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse 19, it says this, "A feast is made for laughter and wine for merry, but money answers everything." God's word, folks, God's word. But it's uncomfortable, preacher, when you start talking like this. And I know people, I don't like it when the preacher talks about money. If that's true, let me tell you who you wouldn't have liked to sit under. Jesus. Hello. Did you know that Jesus presented 36 parables in his teaching? Did you know that 16 of them had to do with our attitude toward money? One out of every 10 verses, listen to me now, in the New Testament deals with our attitude toward money. That's incredible, isn't it? So apparently God wants us to learn something here today. There's 500 verses about prayer. There's 500 verses about faith. There are over 2,000 verses about money. So what does that tell you? There's a proportion there. Remember the story Jesus told about the widow's mite? Where she goes in and she puts her two mites in the offering at the temple. And he says she gave all that she had when she gave her two mites. And that whole story has to do with money, because the Pharisees were going in and saying, "Look at what I'm putting in here. A lot of money." That's not what it's about, folks. It's not about that at all. The unjust steward in Luke chapter 16. At the end of the story, Jesus said, "If you had not been faithful with your money, how do you expect to handle true riches?" Why can't I get ahead, preacher? Why can't I be blessed with more money? Did you use what God blessed you with by God's standard? If you didn't, don't expect God to say, "Oh, I see him down there. He needs some more money. I'll shower him." That's not how it works. I'm going to show you how it works in just a moment. The rich young ruler that Jesus talked about, he came to him and he says, "Master, what can I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus says, "One thing you lack." "Oh, what is it, Lord? I'll do it." "Sell everything you got. Follow me." Oh, he went away sorrowful. You know why? He didn't own his possessions. His possessions owned him. And what a sad thing that is. So if God's not interested in the money, why include all of these stories in his word? Clearly God is interested in my money, your money, our money, but it's all God's money. Let me tell you who else is interested in your money. Satan. Satan is interested in your money because he can take that money and do things with it. So he's very much. Have any of y'all ever used fly paper? Some of y'all are old enough to remember the things we used to hang on the ceiling that sort of came down like this. Fly paper. And you know they had honey on them. And they would attract the fly. And the fly would come, boom, "I got the honey. I got the honey. I got the honey. Yum, 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 I'm eating." And then all of a sudden the fly wants to leave. And the fly paper says, "I got the fly. I got the fly. You ain't going nowhere, big guy. You dead." Let me tell you something. People go around today saying, "Woo, I got the money, I got the money, I got the money." And guess what happens? The money says, "I got you, I got you." That's the shape we don't want to be in right there. It's where the money has got us instead of us having the money. God is interested in your money, but so is Satan. One more person interested in your money, you. God, Satan, and you are interested in your money. Some churches these days hold people accountable to the tithe, even requiring them to show what they make in salaries and calling them in if they get behind. Now, I personally, and I wouldn't tell you anything I don't know, in Florence, Alabama, there is a church you cannot join without submitting your pay stubs if you're working publicly somewhere. If you're not working publicly, are you working independent or an independent contractor? They want your last 2 years' bank statements, and you will sign a pledge to give 10% of that money, or you will not join that church. I don't like that. I don't like it. That just rubs me the wrong way to do that. But now, that's what they do, okay? That's their policy. No one has ever joined Liberty Baptist Church and us ask you for your pay stub. As long as I'm pastor here, that will never happen. And I will tell you this, as a pastor, I don't have a clue what any one of you gives. Judy, have I ever asked what anybody gives here? No. I'm not going to. Because let me tell you, folks, that's between you and God. Not between you and this pastor. That's between you and God. This pastor's job is very simply to tell you what the Scripture says about your giving. Now, I do want to say this. I said it one other time a couple of years ago, but I do want to reiterate this. You have to live what you preach. And if any of you want to know what my giving record is at Liberty Baptist Church, you see Judy, and Judy will disclose to you every penny that I put into this church. She has my permission to do that. I'm giving you, Judy, permission. I'm also giving you folks on Facebook, if you don't believe what the preacher's preaching is real, you have the same authority to text her, and she can give you my financial record. That's why I want you to know, I'm not preaching something that I don't do, okay? I'm preaching something that God has laid on my heart to preach here today, okay? So we're not going to ever hold you accountable or anything like that. But it's hard for me to imagine that people don't want to give to God. Now, the word tithe literally means 10%. So the wisdom of God, He planned a method that was fair, no matter if you make $100 or $100,000, He's got a fair method. 10%. That's what He said. So, I can't make sure everyone's walking in obedience, but I can make sure and preach it just like God said it. And that's what we're going to do here today. I don't work on a commission, and this message is not self-serving. Whether you put your money in this church or you don't has nothing to do with me as far as me personally goes. However, in the scripture that Mark read earlier, we don't give to God. Look on your notes. We return to Him. Now, there's three groups of people in this room right now and listening on Facebook right now. We've got the group that says, hey, it's all mine. I work for it. I deserve it. I made it. And it is all mine. And when that offering plate passes in front of me, I might flip a dollar in it. I might put $20 in it. But that's one group of people that we have. There's another group of people here that says the tithe belongs to God. And the rest is mine. The other 90% is mine. In obedience, I give Him 10%. And with the rest, I will do whatever I want to do. And then the third group, it all belongs to God. The tithe and the rest of it. I return to Him what He has commanded, and He entrusts me with the rest of His money. Now, just because I return the tithe doesn't give me the right to do anything I want to do with that other 90%. And I'll tell you about that tonight. I still have to pray about every financial decision I make. That's one group of people. This other group, this third group, knows that they're going to be judged someday for what they did with this. Now, there's a radical difference between these three groups of people. The first two groups, the first one says, I share with God when I want to. The second one says, I share with God because I have to. And listen, folks, you don't have to. God gives us the choice. Okay? We have the choice. The third group says, it's all God's. And He shares with me. I like that group of people right there. I do. Now that we understand, we are to return the tithe what it is. And on your notes there, it says it is a definite proportion. The word tithe literally means 10%. That's when you go back into the original translation, that's what it means. 10% is easy to figure. You got a dollar in your bulletin today. How much is 10% of that dollar? 10 cents. Shouldn't you give that back to God? That would be the only appropriate thing to do. If there had been $1,000 in that bulletin, you should have given him back $100. There you go. Easy. 10% is an easy calculation. Now, here's what I always hear. This is what I love right here. Preacher, that's the Old Testament law. Guess what? It's not. It's not. You know who says it's the Old Testament law? Them that don't want to give. Oh, that's the Old Testament. No, it's not. I'm going to show you. It's not an Old Testament law. In Genesis chapter 14, verse 17 through 20, this is before the law ever was given by God. So you want to write that scripture down. This is way before the law. The king of Sodom went out to meet him, Abraham, at the valley of Sheba, that is the king's valley, after his return from the defeat of Chedorlaomer and the kings who were with him. Then Melchizedek, the king of Salem, brought out bread and wine, and he was the priest of God Most High. Now, many people believe that Melchizedek, because he was priest of God Most High, was Jesus Christ incarnate. So whether it was Jesus Christ or whether it was just like it says right there, doesn't matter. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abraham of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. And bless the God Most High who has delivered your enemies into your hand. And he, Abraham, gave him a tithe, 10%, of all the spoils that they had taken in. Now, way before God gave Moses the law, way before God gave the law on Mount Sinai, way before that, here is Abraham giving 10%. All of their increase, and the 10% is your increase, they gave it to him. Abraham began it. And in Genesis 28, 22, and this stone which I set as a pillar shall be God's house, and of all that you give me, I will surely give a tenth to you. Jacob continued it, still before the law, folks. Then Moses came along, and God gave him the law. Leviticus 27, verse 30 through 32. And all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It's only holy to the Lord. And concerning the tithe of the herd of the flock, or whatever passes under the rod, the tenth one shall be holy to the Lord. Moses commanded it. A few hundred years later, Malachi confirmed it in the scripture that was written, read here today. Now here's your good one. Well, preacher, all of that's in the Old Testament. Okay, maybe it wasn't a law, but it passed away when Jesus came. Because Jesus brought in grace. Let me tell you the first thing Jesus said about it right here. Matthew chapter 23, verse 23. Jesus Christ says, woe to you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law. Justice, mercy, faith, These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. So Jesus is saying, scribes, Pharisees, you church people, you're supposed to do your tithe, but don't leave out the rest of everything. You see, the tithe will not get you to heaven. The tithe is something we're commanded to do. Jesus said, you were right to have tithe, but you should have done all of those other things too. Justice, mercy, and faith. Folks, you can't buy God off, whether you give him 90% or what. But notice this, he does commend them for being obedient in the tithe. He does. Abraham started it, Jacob continued it, Moses commanded it, Malachi confirmed it, and Jesus commended it. Who am I to cancel it? I can't. Neither can this church. The New Testament always demands more of us than the Old Testament. For instance, thou shalt not kill. Jesus goes farther. He says, thou shalt not hate. Don't commit adultery. But in the New Testament, we talk about lust. So the New Testament takes us to a different level than what the Old Testament took us to. And it's always been God's method. He's always used his people to do his work. So, the water of life, I want you to know now, don't leave here saying, oh, that preacher preach about money, because you've never heard me preach like this. The water of life flows very freely at Liberty Baptist Church. But the bill has to be paid with this right here. Okay? The plumbing costs money, just like utilities do. Power bills at your house, the roof over your head, all of that costs money. For those weeks we mentioned before, tithing wasn't just a duty, it was a delight. In 2 Corinthians 9:7, it says, let him give not grudgingly or of necessity. God loves a cheerful giver. And I've heard people say, well, I can't be a cheerful giver if I go over a dollar. Don't use that as an excuse, and don't twist that scripture around. God wants us to give from the abundance that he's blessed us from. Not grudgingly, okay. That's the right motive, love and obedience there. We need to print bumper stickers that say, tithe if you love Jesus. Any fool can honk. Folks, we're talking 10%. I want you to think for a minute. This is real to us today. These radical Muslims strapping dynamite on them and walking into a shopping center and pulling the plug and exploding themselves. We talk about 10%. They are giving everything for the wrong cause, for the wrong reason. But, buddy, they're giving it all right there. It breaks my heart when I see some of God's people groan and moan over 10%. Tithing is a privilege, and it's a definite proportion. The second thing on your notes says a designated place. Where is your designated place? Well, it's the local church. It's where you get fed. It's the storehouse. That's in Malachi 3:10. And in reference to the Old Testament temple, part of the temple was a storehouse. They had places for grain. They had places for the cattle and all. Because people were commanded to bring in 1/10 of their first fruits. And they had to have a place to keep them. The storehouse was the temple. And it was used to feed the priest, for animal sacrifices, for the medium of exchange to continue the work of God. This is where you get fed. This is your storehouse. The tithe was brought to the place where the people worshiped. Today, that's the local New Testament church. Some people think they got a side deal with God. That side deal is American Red Cross. That side deal is curing cancer. That side deal is this charity or that charity. That side deal is that TV preacher. Uh-uh. You're commanded, bring it to where you get fed. Jane and I usually go after Sundays to Southern Farm Buffet down here in Central to eat. Some of the best food in the world. I'll give him a plug right there. Old country cooking. Suppose I go there and I get full. Man, I've just enjoyed this. And I go to Kevin. I say, Kevin, he's the owner. Kevin, this was a great meal. I think it was one of the best you've ever prepared. But my heart is for Olive Garden right now. I feel like they're having some financial issues. So, Kevin, if you don't mind, I'm going to take my money and leave it at Olive Garden. What do you think Kevin would say? You nut? What do you think God says when we take our money and we put it somewhere else instead of where God has commanded us to do? Verse 10 also says two words, prove me. This is the only scripture in the Bible where God says, try me. Prove me. And he says, put me to the test. Do you believe in God? Put him to the test. Here's his promise right here. Put me to the test. See if I won't bless you for it. God says, I'll pass that test with flying colors. And believe me, he will. You ever heard somebody say, I can't afford to tithe? Yeah, I'm sure you have. You might have said it yourself. That's not a viable statement. Don't ever be caught saying that, for it reveals that you're tithing last instead of first. Proverbs 3:9, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits. First fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. If we put God first, he takes care of the rest of it. He goes a step farther in verse 11. He says, I will rebuke the devourer. These were agricultural people. All kinds of plagues, locusts, insects, everything coming against their crops, floods, droughts, and all. But God said this, I will rebuke the devourer. You bring me the first fruits, I'll see that you have plenty. To us today, he says, I will rebuke the enemies of your finance if you put me first. Most of us aren't farmers. But most of us do have enemies of our finance. The car breaking down, the excessive medical bills, all of the things that we have that come against us, God says, put me first and I'll take care of it for you. Try me. Try me. Try me. Put me to the test. God can make shoes last longer. He can do more with your 90%. Than you do with your 100%. I promise you that. A lot of times people say, well, preacher, if God blesses me, I'll tithe. That's a bunch of bull. I mean, where in the world people get these things to? Okay, I'm not trying to put you in a straitjacket. I'm trying to set you free. But we got a lot of debt. Preacher, I can't. Yeah, you can. If you take God first, there's always a blessing. And when you don't, there's always a curse. So if you're not putting God first and you're having trouble getting by, think about what these scriptures we just read. In verse 8 and 9 says, there's a curse if you don't put me first, but a blessing if you do. And a divine purpose. In Africa, there's a monkey that's considered a delicacy to eat. Now, have any of y'all ever eaten monkey before? All right, let me tell you how the natives catch him. They take a box, and they make a hole in that box big enough for that monkey to put his fist in. He can really get his hand in there. And then they put food in there that monkey likes. That monkey gets a handful of food. Now he can't get his hand out. But, buddy, he's got that food, and he won't let it go. So they just walk up to him, hit him in the head, skin him and eat him, because the food had a hold of him. That's what happens to us sometimes, folks. We get so greedy going after the money that we won't let it go. Let it go. And let God have his way. Undoubtedly, there's people here today who are committing financial suicide because they won't let go of the tithe. Let it go. Let it go. Who's in charge? Tell God he's in charge of your finances. Tell him he's in charge of your life by returning the tithe. Folks, it's a trust fund. Now, let me make a big disclaimer right here. This church is debt-free. This church has no outstanding debts. So I'm not preaching to you because we need money. I'm preaching to you because you need God's blessings. And I tell you, I'd love to be able to do that because we don't have to have money. We have money at this church. But we need you to be blessed. And the way you get your blessings is by being obedient to God. If you're here and you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, today would be the day of your salvation. All God wants from you is you, and he'll take care of everything else. He gave everything for you. Not 10%, he gave 100%. Christian, will you give everything to him? Bow your heads with me.